This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by ProPax with NT-Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT-Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT-Factor repairs damaged cells, restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT-Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT-Factor for years, and now the 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, that's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com, that's ntfactor.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I am Layla Mudin, registered dietitian. I have a master's degree in nutrition and exercise. If you'd like to make an appointment with me, call the office, 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. If you don't already subscribe to the newsletter, the Intelligent Medicine newsletter, you can. Go to drhoffman.com and sign up. It comes out weekly around Thursday, and you may unsubscribe at any time. We do not use your email for any other purpose. If you'd like to email me, if you have a question, topic of interest that you'd like to hear me take a deep dive into on this program, you can email me at radioprogram@aol.com. That's radioprogram@aol.com. Let's talk about the benefits of exercise, not just for our bodies. It's good for cardiovascular, lung, heart function, all of that. It's good for keeping us from becoming feeble as we get older. And I'm not just talking about cardio. I'm talking also about strength training to keep our muscles strong so that we're always able to function well, get out of the car, get the bag of groceries out of the trunk, maneuver that way, ambulate that way, walk up and down the stairs without getting winded, and so forth. But fitter bodies make for healthier brains. So, we kind of know this already, but I think it's always worth mentioning the benefits of exercise. So if you are looking for more incentive to hit the gym, and not just as a New Year's resolution, hey, it's October, let's get on with it now and not make it a New Year's resolution that many people are then bound to abandon by February or March, right? Everybody's going to the gym starting January 2nd, but by March 2nd, it kind of begins to teeter out. But if you make it a daily thing, and by the way, it doesn't matter so much whether you exercise in the morning or the evening. Some people are very low energy in the morning and they can't bring themselves around to do it. They're better in the evening. That's fine. Other people, if you do it in the morning, you're better off. I'm a morning person. I kind of jump out of bed pretty much after about six and a half hours of sleep. And so I'm ready to go then. And another important thing is you want to choose a time of day to do your exercise that works with your lifestyle. If I do my exercise at the beginning of the day, I've ensured that it gets done. Towards the end of the day, I can be easily distracted by other things I want to do. So, or chores and things that come up, or work matters and so forth. So the beginning of the day works best for me, and it can for you too. So if you're looking for incentives to hit the gym, there's new research that suggests that staying in good shape may help preserve brain structure, boost memory, and improve the ability to think clearly and quickly. The finding follows an analysis of fitness and brain health among more than 1,200 young adults, the average age of 30. All of the subjects, they underwent brain scans, tests to measure memory, sharpness, judgment, and reasoning, and a speed walking trial to assess cardiovascular fitness. Muscle strength in this study was not assessed. It was about cardiovascular fitness. The investigators found that study participants who moved faster and farther over the 2-minute walking test performed better on thinking tests than their less fit peers. Fitter men and women were also found to have healthier nerve fibers across the white matter portion of the brain. White matter is critical for high quality neural communication, the researchers noted. And I want to bring up to you the acronym BDNF. That stands for Brain Derived Neurotrophic Factor, BDNF. This is what goes on high when you practice your aerobic activity every day. I'm talking about your cardio, like a speed walking, a jogging, a swimming, biking, all of that. This is important. Study lead author Jonathan Reppel offered several theories as to what might explain a strong body, strong brain connection. For one, he says exercise decreases inflammation, which in turn is beneficial for brain cells. And Dr. Reppel is a psychiatrist and neuroscientist with the University of Münster in Germany. Being fit may also promote better nerve fiber insulation and greater growth across nerve cells and nerve connections. Remember, BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor. Dr. David Perlmutter has talked a lot about that in his book, Grain Brain, and how aerobic activity is really beneficial for brain function and memory by boosting BDNF. It may also be that fitter men and women simply have a better blood supply to the brain. That's true too, right? What else can you think of that increases circulation to the brain? Ginkgo biloba comes to mind. That's often beneficial for people who are concerned about their memory. Ginkgo is helpful also for those with inner ear disturbances because it increases circulation there. So it's the opinion of these scientists that these results reflect a pattern of general improved vascular health in individuals who are more physically fit. But it is also likely that physical fitness is a characteristic of people who are more health conscious and practice better health behaviors. In that case, a constellation of healthy behaviors ultimately might come together to foster better brain health and structure. Now, this is where in scientific research, we call these confounders or extraneous variables that may impact their conclusion, the outcome, and that being physically fit is a characteristic of people who are more health conscious and they practice better health behaviors. They may eat better, they may sleep better, all of the above, which can contribute to healthier brain function. So for couch potatoes, could a link between body and brain health mean that getting just a bit fitter might be a win-win? Study volunteers ranged from age 20 to 59, and Dr. Ruppel said the findings held up even after accounting for factors such as age, gender, high blood pressure, diabetes, and body mass index, BMI, which you know is a standard measurement of obesity. However, says Dr. Ruppel, because the study merely observed each individual's current status, he cannot say for sure that the newly fit will actually enjoy improved brain health or cognition. But he did note that the fitness brain health connection seemed to be on a sliding scale, meaning that if you get 10 units, quote, units better on the walking test, you improve 3 units on the cognitive tests. Also, a lot of other studies showed that, independent of age, it's always beneficial to start exercising. You know, when you're practicing cardiovascular fitness, when you are a regular exerciser, this helps to keep inflammation down. That also means not just in your coronary arteries, but your arteries all over, everywhere, and including your complete circulatory system, and keeping inflammation down, keeping endothelial dysfunction at bay is helpful. That means better circulation. So, cardiovascular fitness, while relatively young, probably has beneficial consequences in midlife and later life. And that likely means that the earlier one begins to practice good vascular health behaviors, the greater the benefits will be. These findings were represented at a meeting of the European College of Neuropsychopharmacology in Copenhagen. And this report was also published online September 9th in Scientific Reports. So you know where to get that if you want to look further in. And to back that up, can exercise protect against Alzheimer's? A study ties physical activity to slower amyloid beta-related cognitive decline. So let's talk about that. A higher level of daily physical activity was tied to slower amyloid beta-related cognitive decline. This is based on a longitudinal observational study. So in clinically normal adults, higher levels of baseline activity attenuated the relationship between elevated amyloid beta with cognitive decline and gray matter volume over time. This is reported at Sunnybrook Research Institute in Toronto at the Alzheimer's Association International Conference in this year. These findings were also published in JAMA Neurology, that's the Journal of the American Medical Association Neurology, and this is from the AAIC conference, which is the Alzheimer's Association International Conference this year. The effects were over and above vascular risk factors, they found. Vascular risk also independently predicted slower rates of cognitive decline and brain volume loss. If you were to target both of those, you would see a greater benefit than targeting one of these alone. Even modest levels of physical activity had quite robust protective effects, but they were most prominent in people who were just shy of 10,000 steps a day. They took about 8,900 steps a day. This study shows that physical exercise allows persons to tolerate a higher burden of amyloid pathology, even though there was no association between how much people exercised and whether they had elevated amyloid. Physical activity affected the downstream clinical expression of the Alzheimer's process. Remember that amyloid beta plaque is part of the brain's metabolism. And if you are physically fit, not diabetic, don't have high blood sugars, impaired glucose tolerance, metabolic syndrome, prediabetes, all of the above, your brain is able to clear the amyloid beta plaque or the beta amyloid plaque. But when it is unable to clear it, it's the accumulation of those plaques that are a hallmark of Alzheimer's disease. So the more physically fit you are, according to this study, if you're taking at least 8,900 steps a day, you have the benefit of a healthier brain metabolism, of being able to clear these beta amyloid plaques. So even though there was no association between how much people exercised and whether they had elevated amyloid, the physical activity affected the downstream clinical expression of the Alzheimer's project, of the Alzheimer's process. In some ways, this is similar to cognitive reserve. These people didn't start exercising the day they joined the study. Their degree of physical activity is probably a proxy for attention to other cardiovascular risk factors. This is true. Even if we couldn't reduce Alzheimer's pathology, but we could improve brain reserve, we could effectively delay the appearance of overt cognitive impairment and lessen the symptomatic burden of Alzheimer's disease, say these researchers. So in this study, the researchers assessed baseline physical activity of 182 clinically normal adults from the Harvard Aging Brain Study who wore waistband pedometers for 7 consecutive days. Participants had an average age of about 73 when they started the study, and 57% were female. Beta amyloid burden was assessed at baseline with PET scan imaging. In this study, amyloid was a continuous variable. By conventional standards, we would expect around 25% to have elevated amyloid. Vascular risk was also quantified at baseline. Cognition was measured annually with the preclinical Alzheimer's cognitive composite for a median of 6 years. So there was a particular test called the preclinical Alzheimer's cognitive composite, which was used for a median of 6 years. After adjusting for age and sex, there was no association of physical activity with amyloid beta burden. Greater physical activity was linked to slower amyloid beta-related cognitive decline and gray matter volume loss. Beneficial effects were seen at even modest levels of physical activity. And while the study did assess a threshold minimum, we did see an effect at around 8,900 steps per day. Adjusting for vascular risk did not alter the associations. Lower vascular risk was independently tied to slower amyloid beta related cognitive decline and volume loss. We can't really speak to the mechanisms involved. That's an open question, say these scientists. We don't know what's preserving the brain tissue over time. I would say to these scientists, go read Grain Brain, talk to Dr. David Perlmutter. It could be about BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor. But the study, one of the first to assess activity and amyloid levels, suggests we shouldn't wait until people are symptomatic. We should not wait until people are symptomatic, right? These are lifestyle changes we should make early on. The research, however, has several limitations, and any good study is going to discuss their limitations. The Harvard Aging Brain Study excludes people who are likely to have very high levels of cerebrovascular disease. Most people in the cohort have at least some advanced education and may have high cognitive reserve. Activity was assessed only once in the study at baseline. Its duration and intensity could not be determined. And this work was supported by the National Institute on Aging, the Canadian Institutes of Health Research, the Alzheimer's Association, the National Health and Medical Research Council, the National Institutes of Health, and all that. So if you need reason to exercise, I'm giving you more. And remember, exercise is a prescription. And it's better than taking prescription medication to help you with your brain health, to help you with your diabetes, to help you with your unstable blood sugar related issues. So remember that fitter bodies make for healthier brains, and that exercise can indeed protect against Alzheimer's disease, which you've heard me talk a lot about here. So I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In, here on Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.